All right, let's continue with Kentucky Derby talk. You got to go to the Kentucky Derby this weekend.
Via Woodford Reserve.
Thank you, Woodford Reserve.
So when we get to our actual seats, I find that, and this is going to make you crazy, that the Woodford Reserve box, and when I say box, we're outside, okay? But we're underneath the overhang.
Right.
And so we're about 25 rows up, right on the finish line. So we see the horses, because they start about, I don't know, a couple of hundred yards behind the finish line, mm-hmm. then pass it, then they go all the way back around. So we see them take off, then they make the turn, and you kind of lose them when they make the turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see them come back around, and then obviously we see the finish. Well, we had great
seats. From 25 seats. Yards away.
Yes.
Wow.
I'll show you a video that I shot yesterday. It's Saturday. It's just, it's awesome. So I was very lucky to be that close. Well, I was also lucky that we had press passes. Because Darren Rogers, who is the PR director, media guy, who runs Churchill Downs, mm-hmm. he used to be at Lone Star. Good
right.
friend of ours.
Yes.
Great P1. Known the guy for years. Well, he moved out there 3 years ago to run Churchill. Obviously a better job. And found out that...
Probably doesn't get a lot better in the sport of horse racing, I would think.
No, that's probably the... That's high cotton for, mm-hmm. for that industry. So, we get media passes, which means we can go anywhere. Anywhere. And so, we wanted to go up to this area called Millionaire's Row.
Mm-hmm.
In which, it's obviously, it sounds exclusive. It's really exclusive. And it is a banquet area that sits kind of atop a church hill. And there's probably 100 tables in there that seats 7, 8, 10 people per table.
Right.
And I walk in, and one of the first people I see there is Bruce Gilbert, our old boss here at the Ticket, who moved up to run Dan Snyder's radio networks up in D.C.
Yes, Red
I
Zebra
Radio. I did cocaine with him 5 years ago.
Oh, good, Norm.
I'm like, so he was there,
I'm
huh?
like, oh, my God, and he's up there in Millionaire's Row. And this is all really old Southern corporate money.
He makes like $53,000 a year.
Oh, he just connections. I think he went with the ESPN TV people who he's still friends with.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sitting there, and, you know, we get a big laugh. I walked up to his table, and he's looking at his racing sheet, and I'm like, well, you're about the last effing person I thought I'd see here. And he looks up. He's like, oh, my God.
It's amazing how this business works, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So he goes, come here, let me show you this. So the ticket where I was a couple of $100. They ain't cheap, okay? Mm-hmm. I think it was $190 or something like that. And Bruce, my buddy at Woodford, said that he could sell that, the ticket that we had right there on the finish line, for $1,200 easy on race day.
Wow. So that's what, about $500 a second?
Pretty much.
Wow.
So Bruce shows me his ticket to get into Millionaire's Row.
Right.
$792.
He didn't pay for that.
No, of course he didn't. But somebody did. Someone had to buy it for him. So everybody up there, everyone's ticket basically cost $800.
Well, f*** me.
And there were so many people up there.
Uh-huh.
And they basically, Churchill, I mean, obviously, they make so much money off this one race that they don't even need to do anything the rest of the year. It's a one-day event. Two-day event, Friday and Saturday, basically, and they've made their nut, and they can go on with their lives.
It's like Summer Bash for us.
Kind of is. It's just like it.
Wow.
Another thing that you have to do at Churchill, at the Kentucky Derby, is have a mint julep. You guys have heard of these, right?
Yes.
Right.
And a pimento cheese sandwich.
That's at the Masters.
Oh.
Don't they have chicken wings, too?
At the Derby?
Yeah. Just to eat wings.
So you order a mint julep, and I swear all it is whiskey or bourbon.
And mint.
And mint. That's it.
On the rocks.
Yes, on the rocks. And you got to get one. You have to. It's just part of it. So,
is it any good?
No, it's too sweet and too strong.
Oh, they put sugar in it as well?
I think so, a little bit of sugar. But it's really sweet. And man, one of those things, and you are really loopy. Not campout loopy.
Or,
like,
but loopy enough.
Do you drink them like a shot or like a normal drink?
No, it's a big, tall drink.
Oh, it is?
You sip on it.
Yeah, you sip on it. Yeah,
all it is mint, bourbon, sugar, and water.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ugh. It's tough, but you got to get one. You know, it's just part of the deal.
I may have one after the show.
I think you should. I think we should have mint julep hour on the hard line. So another thing you do, obviously, when you're at the races is you gamble. That's why everybody's there, basically, is to bet on the horses. And so we decide.
So you wear hats, you drink mint juleps, and you gamble.
And you bet, yes.
And you look at hide.
And you look at lots of hide and hats.
I'm sorry.
What?
Not your scene?
No, the hats are not a deal, are a deal breaker.
It's a one-time deal, Mike. They don't wear these hats 24/7. Yeah, it's part of it.
But you see them in those hats, and then that's the only way you think of them.
They look too self-important.
And too Southern.
If you were there, you'd get it. It's cool. I thought the same thing going in about the dumb hat. But the hats are just, it's neat. It's a cool deal. So, the first race, we decide, okay, well, we'll throw some money down, put 10 bucks here, 10 bucks there. And, of course, the first race that we bet on, we win. 100 bucks each. And I'm like, God, this is great.
This is so easy.
Now we got money to bet the rest of the day, you know? So then we start looking at the next race, and they're parading these horses past, and I look at the names of the horses, and I go, wait a minute. This horse, I just bet on this horse. He's going to run two races in a row? And then
they do that?
No. Then I find out that I was betting on the wrong race.
Oh.
So I had no idea what I was doing, was betting on the next race, and won.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't win a nickel after that.
Did you bet on the actual
main
event?
Yes. That just shows you how, what a crapshoot horse race gambling is. We got lucky. We bet on the wrong horses.
How is it that you didn't know what race you were betting on?
Well, you walk up.
Did that mint julep affect you like that?
No, someone said we're in the fifth race or the fourth race. And I'm like, okay, well, let's look at the fourth race. Well, actually, they were in the fifth race.
Ah.
So I'm looking at
you were taking the word of somebody else.
Yeah, I'm looking at the four horse. And I'm like, well, I like the four horse. So I bet on the four horse to win. And it was a long shot. And that.
I bet on another to show.
And it won. So we got really lucky. So we kind of split time between that Millionaire's Row and then going back down to the Woodford area. And yeah, of course, we bet on the actual race. Well, they sing the Rascal Flatts sings a national anthem. All right. And normally when you sing the national anthem, the sporting event starts a few minutes later. Mm-hmm. They sing the national anthem and you have 72 minutes to post. All they're trying to do is drive traffic to the windows and to make sure that you bet one, you second guess yourself, you go bet another.
Right.
That you load up for that race.
Right.
Which it's very smart. So
the next thing you know, you bet on every horse in
it. Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. So I had Cat gave me a million tips. He's big into horse racing. Norm called the Derby winner.
Yes.
On his fantasy call.
You're kidding.
No, he did. Cobra, take my advice. Take Super Saver. Okay, Norm. I'll do it.
Did you?
No.
Why not? Why didn't you trust Norm?
Danny,
the odds were a pretty long shot, too, weren't they?
Yeah, they weren't too bad.
9.3 or something?
Yeah, I mean, it was big for a Derby winner, but it wasn't crazy.
Get the hell off the air.
I believe that's 9.23, not 9.3.
Let him go, okay?
No, I think it was 9.3-1.
They don't round off. There's no decimal points in betting. So, he's telling me one thing, Cat's telling me one thing, the guys out there are telling you one thing, and finally I just pull back and say, I'm doing this on my own. I've got a feel for these things.
You should have listened to Norm.
See, I read the Cat tip sheet.
Yeah.
And it didn't sound like he much knew which way to go on this thing.
Yeah, I mean,
he said this was way wide open.
So, and it was muddy.
But let's give Norm credit, okay?
Yeah, Norm called it.
Everybody makes fun of Norm when his football picks go bad.
Like every year.
Or every year and many weeks during the season. But nobody toots his horn when he gets something right. And he called this.
Now, he placed a bet on it, didn't he?
What surely do you think?
Well, surely he bet on his fantasy call,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I wonder how much he put down.
He won a lot of money. He won a lot of money. There's no question about it. And so I actually won a couple of bets that I placed on that last race. Mm-hmm. But I ended up probably, for the day, losing, I don't know, $100 or something like that after all was said and done. Nothing crazy. There was a guy that we were with on the Woodford Reserve bus who won $10,000 on the Derby race. He hit the Superfecta. He bet $1 on the Superfecta, mm-hmm. hitting the first six horses, I believe, and won $10,000
on a $1 bet.
Wow!
We had to hold up the bus because when you win that much money, you got to go claim it. You have to file with the taxes. They got to take taxes out and everything. Mm-hmm. So we had to wait on that guy. He never made it back to the bus, but what did he care? He just won $10,000.
Wow. Wow.
But I think as much as you would poo-poo the hats and the mint julep and the day-long drinking, you would have an absolute blast.
Like I say, I can take or leave the big event for the most part. I've been to enough of them in my day to satisfy me. I've been to an NBA Finals and a World Series and a Super Bowl and right. been to Stanley Cup games and everything like that. But there is one more out there I'd really like to go to, and that's the Kentucky Derby.
And the building itself, man, it's nothing impressive whatsoever.
Just a big old rickety mess.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. Just dilapidated at every turn. I mean, it's... It was built in 1919 or 1929 or something, mm-hmm. and they've refurbished part of it, but mainly it's just the original building. And yeah, it's scummy at best, but...
Is the Kentucky Derby going to move to Lexington if they don't give them a new stadium?
No.
The new stadium.
It'll all, but in the 72-minute buildup after the national anthem up to post time.
Do they have bands or anything like that playing?
No.
Rascal Flatts just sang the national anthem and didn't do anything else,
and then wandered off. Yeah,
they didn't get Cowboy Troy out there or anything.
No, but beforehand they play My Old Kentucky Home.
Oh yeah,
and you can't imagine how that gets the crowd going. And that's right before post time.
Boy, by that time, I'll bet everybody is drunk. They got their arms around each other. They're swaying back and forth and slurring words and everything.
Oh, God, yes, they are. But that's part of it. It is such an experience. Such an experience.
Like the great Hunter S. Thompson said, I believed it. I believed every
word
of that story. Yeah. That was a great story.
Well, thank you, Woodford Reserve. And by the way, they're such big swinging D's out there. Like I said, we're on the bus. Mm-hmm. Police escort. So of 150,000 people that were there, mm-hmm. we're like the first people out of there. Just, it was awesome. It was such a high-class event. Loved
right,
every second
well, that
of it.
Is the end of that story.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
I'm not trying to rush you. What'd you do Saturday night? Did you go to Sugar's or anything?
Sugar's?
What's that?
It's a burlesque club in Louisville.
All black strip club, I'm pretty sure.
Sugar's.
We went to dinner.
It's the King's Cabaret of Louisville.
Hey, I had it. I was already tired from the camp out and still nursing a hangover when I dumped my first cocktail at 9:30 in the morning. So, man, by the time the day was over with, at about 10:30 or 11, out. I mean, out.
I bet those Woodford Reserve guys were ready to party, weren't they?
Yeah.
They had done it the night before, all day Friday. And then, I'm telling you, after the Derby, you've had it.
Not me, man.
You really, Danny? You try pouring your first drink at 9:30 and then just sustaining that all the way through until like 7 o'clock.
That's a normal Saturday for me.
The hell it is. You guys go out at midnight. Bunch of weenies.
Weenies. You're the weenie.
Good one.
Pow! All right, well, that'll be enough of that story.